Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm a sex and love addict. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, David, for asking me to come and speak. I love this program. I love talking about, I've always loved talking about sex and love, and now I just get to talk about it in like a healthy way. So it worked out well. I love the focus, fantasy and intrigue, because that was really most of what I engaged with. I had some relationships, but those questions that you guys read were incredible. Like, that I was a lifeless puppet without, like, some sort of romantic or sexual, like, intrigue. I really did feel like I was dead inside unless I had, like, a crush, someone I was fantasizing about, someone I was talking, like, that animated me. And without it, I really, and I struggled with depression, and it was sort of like my solution. Like, sex and love was my solution for a long time. And it's not a solution for anything. It's a nice thing that I do get to participate in now with recovery. But it doesn't solve my problems. It doesn't solve my spiritual malady. Like, it's not a solution. And I come to this program for actual solutions. I've been coming up in March will be my 5 years since I got a sponsor in this program and started going into withdrawal. And I have had, like, I guess it's a spiritual awakening. There were no, like, flashing lights, there was no God speaking to me through anything magical, but I've had, like, a psychic change. Like, I do see things completely differently. And that is a miracle. So I just want to say thank you to all of you. And, like, this program is incredible and incredibly difficult. And people who stick around, I'm just, like, really impressed with all of us. I was always really good at intrigue. And my friends would always comment, like, how do you always, like, pick up guys, like, everywhere we go? And I wasn't having relationships with any of these people. But, like, I could... I knew what to do, and I could always do it, and I could get that quick hit, and I could hook somebody, and then I could never figure out what would happen next. Like, I was always like, oh, I was missing, absent the day they told you how to get a boyfriend in school. Like, I just didn't, I wasn't one of those slaws that relationship jumped. I always wanted to be one. I thought that seemed better, like the better version of this, but I just would intrigue and have fantasies about people and then, like, wonder, like, why they weren't falling madly in love with me. But I could never be honest, so I could never really form, a lot of real connections or real attachments, because I was really much more focused on seeming cool and intriguing with more people, It felt like it was this never-ending void that if I could just get more guys, if I could just hook more people, then I would feel better, and I would feel attractive, and I would feel okay. But there was no number. There was no there. Like, there was nothing. There was never enough. And, I had friends say things to me, like, it's funny, like, people had said things to me throughout the years, but I just was, like, really, I thought that it was their problem. They were jealous, or they, like, I don't know, this disease is very tricky, but I had one of my very close friends say, like, you don't care about hanging out or going out unless, like, there's men and you could pick someone up. And I was like, you're crazy. Like, I was so offended. And it was so true. It was completely true. She totally had my number. And, I have a lot of humility around that now. Like, I was doing the best that I could, and I was using the salve that I could find to, like, soothe what hurt inside me, and, like, that is just very human. And fantasy also really kept me from hearing what people were saying to me. Like, if I decided I liked you, I stopped listening. I put cotton in my ears and I said, la, 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 la. I don't hear if you're telling me you're unavailable, if you're telling me that you're abusive, if you're telling me that you aren't interested in me. Like, I just stopped listening. because I decided, you know, and I didn't want anyone to break my fantasy or break my little story about what was happening. So I really was not getting to know a person. I was just like having my own experience the way, and I've had to, in this program, I've had to take the cotton out of my ears and listen and hear things that I don't want to hear and then make decisions based on those things that I don't want to hear necessarily. And that is like part of coming out of denial, coming out of fantasy and out of intrigue, which for me is just like fantasy and with engaging with somebody else. Like it's not real. And it doesn't require much intimacy. It doesn't require much vulnerability. It's like I thought I get to have my cake and eat it too. I don't have to let myself be rejected, because if it's always, will they want, you know, what's happening? Ooh, I don't know, you know, then I'm never going to be rejected, really. I never have to be vulnerable. I never have to be honest. And I could just like blame somebody else for not like coming in and like doing all the work. And yeah, I really didn't want to do things differently because I was really scared. And I was really scared to find out that if I was honest, that nobody would want me, you know, and that all I had to offer was being sexually adventurous or chill or whatever. And that like, without those things, I really was working with nothing. And that is such a sad like belief that I carried for a long time. Turns out not to be true. I'll just share the thing, the sort of last hurrah right before I came in. I was like coming to meetings and I was like, all right, like I clearly am this, but like maybe I can just go out and like have one last, like, you know, get one last hurrah in. And I met this guy at a work event, of course, very appropriate. And we had a 48-hour whirlwind romance. He lived in New York and I'm here, and he's going to come visit me. He comes out all the time. We're going to have something. This is not in reality. He disappears, of course. And I wanted to kill myself, which happened after the end of many things, you know. And I was like, okay, something, this is off, you know. I've known this is off, but like, this is off. And I don't want to live like this. I had like a friend of mine visiting that weekend when he really stopped texting, and I was just not there. You know, I missed out on that connection, on that time with friends and family. And I've lost so much time with friends and family to this addiction, to being in my phone, to obsessing, well, they, where are they, when, you know. And I finally got a sponsor, and I decided to go into a real withdrawal. And I realized how many like intrigue-y things I had to like cut off in order to be in withdrawal. Like, there was a lot. And it was, I mean, I was just very like humbled by how much of this I was spending my time on. It's amazing I was able to accomplish anything in my life, because it really was an obsession. But I did slowly by slowly, and I was like, oh, this is not a friendship. We want to have sex with each other. This is not a friendship. This is intrigue, you know, like, cause I had all like, oh, we're friends. No, we're not friends. This is fantasy, you know? So I had to like let go of some friends, and really get into reality about like how I acted, I was always speaking about sex in inappropriate moments to try to seem cool, to try to connect with men. This was the only way I thought I could. And I definitely made people uncomfortable, and people had said things to me that I made them, you know, them uncomfortable about the way I talked to in front of their husbands and things like that. And, you know, I feel shame when I think about it, but I'm a sex and love addict. Like, this is how I think things go. This is how I think you connect. So when I went into withdrawal and I had to stop, or I tried and with God to stop behaving like this, and I found I didn't have a lot to say. I was like pretty quiet for several months. I was like, if I can't talk about this, I'm not sure what I have to say. And so I had to, like, take some time to be quiet and see, like, okay, what's behind this? Like, who am I without this stuff? Without crazy sex stories to hold up in front of me. Thank you, I hear that. Or a boyfriend to hold up in front of me to say, look, I'm okay. I have this stuff, you know. I'm talking to this guy. In withdrawal, I didn't have any of that stuff. And I felt so exposed and, like, you know, like I was being operated on without anesthesia. Just, like, this is me. And it turns out, like, I'm pretty good without that stuff. I'm pretty interesting and cool. And I worked the steps and, you know, a day at a time, I stopped living in a fantasy world where I was never to blame. That's another big fantasy, but everything was everyone else's fault. And I was just like this victim of like, oh, these guys, they're assholes. They don't, you know, they're ghosting. I don't know. I just, you know, everyone was to blame until I started to see like, wow, I have not participated. I have not been an active participant in this area of my life. I have been passive and blaming and, yeah, not willing to face reality of what I actually wanted from people, with people, and from what people were willing and able to give me. And after a lot of, you know, I finished the 12 steps and I started sober dating with a sober dating plan, and I had to practice, like, if someone told me they were not interested in a relationship and I am interested in a relationship, not only do I have to communicate that I am, I have to hear what they say and then I have to make a decision, you know? And that is like, if I don't hear, then I don't have to do the thing I don't want to do. But if I hear and I am able to hear because I have sponsors and fellows and God and I'm like sponsees, I'm surrounded by accountability, then I have to make the harder decisions and maybe be alone more, alone, you know? And I mean, it's been incredible. Like the self-esteem I've been able to build by saying, thank you so much, but that doesn't work for me. Or being broken up with and doing it gracefully and saying like saying things like I'm disappointed. Ugh. That was the hardest thing for me to say, you know, but that was the genuine truth. It was, hey, I'm disappointed, but I respect what you're saying and thank you for this experience. Like, that is not a way I ever operated, ever. And it has paid off so much. I really, like, I have a lot of grace and dignity in this area that I just did not have before. And I've now been in a sober relationship for 1 year and 8 months. I dated him with my sober dating plan, and I think it was the strictest I had. It was like my strictest dating plan I ever had. And I used to think the dating plan that no one is going to stick around for this. This is insane. If I don't have sex with someone immediately, thank you. I hear that. And he, you know, people are willing to have boundaries and respect people with boundaries. I didn't know. And it's not the relationship's not based in fantasy, and I'm not intriguing with other people, and I'm not fantasizing about other things out there, or that he is different than he is. Like, we are in like a healthy communicative relationship, and it's intimate, and I just spent like 6 days with his family in a very wholesome Christmas, and I didn't want to run away or freak out or act out, which, you know, I was present and I enjoyed it. And yeah, it's not, my life is not as like, I don't have all the crazy stories anymore, but like I've traded that for like connection and intimacy and like a healthy sex life, which, you know, I thought maybe if I came into this program, I had to give up on like great sex, that like, you know, you get one or the other, you get crazy or you get good sex. And like, that's not true. I had a lot of mistaken ideas before I came here. And yes, that's the cash and prizes, but that's, you know, a great guy didn't just show up. Like, I became a great guy, you know, like I became what I wanted, in a partner, and and I have to show up for that, and I have to come here because I deeply believe that, like, if I take my foot off the pedal of this program, like, I'll go back in no time. Like, I have a reverential fear, as I say, of this addiction, like, and I trust my higher power. I have to, because I know that this is not me. This is the work here, all of you, and this, I love it. I'll keep coming back. Thank you.